So this is Happy Trinity Sunday. So this is one of the, you know, in the calendar of the church, there are common Sundays, which are usually signified by the color green. So if we had colors draped, it would be white today. We're going to do, Tommy was gracious, we're going to do communion today. He'll have his gluten-free communion on that side. And although Patrick was trying to include chocolate donuts in it, and we were having to beat him away from the gluten elements, so Tommy did really well. I don't think he's bruised. It won't probably show where you beat on him. But so then this is his other, and Tommy's got some verses and stuff for us. So this is one of the rare, not rare, there are a few feast days in the church calendar that are not like Pentecost, which represent an event. This represents a doctrinal important thing. So this is about honoring the Trinity. And there is a creed that they read, but it's 5 minutes long. I didn't think we'd do this creed, but there's a particular creed that was written in 600 AD, and across the church, they read that creed today. And that creed is, half of it is about the Trinity, and then half of it is about other things. And I can't remember the guy's name who wrote it, but Brooke probably knows somewhere. Starts with an A. I don't know. Okay, give him a present for that. I think that's very good. That's quite impressive. So I had to look it up. Turn with me to, where are we going? Luke 7. We're going to go back and pick up and try to jump forward, and I'll try to speed my brain up here. Let's see, Liz, we want to thank Liz for leading worship last week. And did that, I guess it was good. I didn't get to hear it, so, you know. But then riding down the road on Monday, I could, thanks to Jimmy putting things up, I could hear Jamie's message on it. So that was a fun message last week. Then I got reports because I got my hair cut from Chris, so I got reports of the ministry time. It sounded like y'all had a really good time. So three legs of, you know, that's pretty good. So pray with me as that we will develop ministry team leaders. I'd like for some to, like, take Sundays, and they would be in charge of the team. Todd finished reading the ministry manual that you renovated, and the reason that I would have read it sooner is I could never remember what form it was in, and then I had to, and I did not have an app on that shows you technology. I didn't have an app to read it on. So finally, I was in the building at the same time that my mind said, oh, look up the app and put the ministry manual material in there so you can look at it. So that looks good. And we'll have that for people. We'll work on that. Since I think it's something God does. In fact, I think we can see some of that in this today. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you placed that, I will bless your name, on Todd's heart. And we bless Bubba and Melanie and the bittersweet thing of, yay, he's moving on to do something next in the kingdom, and that, but giving up the church that they planted in the Inverness area so many years ago. So thank you for them, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to bless Cherry Junkins. What's her last name now? She remarried. She and Lamar started the first vineyard in Birmingham. And that's where I heard this song, you know. Lamar's with the Lord. So bless Cherry and her husband. In Jesus' name, amen. I think 2 weeks ago, look at Luke 7, New American Standard, verse 16. Just after this guy, Jesus raised from the dead, gives him back to his mother. It says that fear gripped them all. They began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." So this report goes out all over Judea and in all the surrounding district, because a sign of there being a prophetic, a prophet, an Old Testament-like prophet, would be he raised somebody from the dead. That would get a lot of people's attention and give him validation at an even greater level than healing the sick and stuff. And so John the Baptist, his cousin, so to speak, 6 months older than him, is in prison for telling the king that he couldn't be married to his brother's wife, whoever it was. It kind of upset people. They put him in prison. You know, he would be in prison for a while. So John here's down in verse 18. The disciples of John reported to him about these things, and summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else?" And when the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" And at that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. He answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." That is not only the mark of the anointed one, the Messiah, it is the mark of the Messiah's people. This list is about you and about your older brother. This is the list that causes us to lay hands on people, to pray for sick. That if you end up in a situation with someone dead, you need to ask the Lord, "Should I speak to this person?" I mean, this is the list of stuff. There's a lot of Christians that want to talk about the list and about Jesus and how great he was. And then other Christians, kind of over on the other side of that, want to make it so much of it is the only thing we do is work at this list, to the point that we don't practice Christian behaviors, proper things. And so they can get in all kinds of other troubles in their life as long as they pray for the dead. Really, you know them. You've met some. You know, so it's both. Treat people well. Don't judge. Do all the things that Jesus says do, and pray for the dead when they're to be raised. And pray for the blind. A balanced Christian life is the thing that we have going for us. I mean, I've already gone the wrong way with that sounding, you know. We're not going for that. It's that when you and I walk with Jesus, have a relationship with him, these things come into balance. And if they're not in balance, then the chair doesn't sit straight or whatever. We don't walk the walk in just a reasonable way. Okay, I know y'all know that. I'll make this that I'm going to preach to myself, and then y'all can listen in. Okay, so I've got two or three verses that I put stars by. So here's one of my star verses, 23. "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." That almost, to you and I as Christians, we think that's almost just kind of cruise over it and don't go there. But he still can be an offense. when he asks you to do something and you don't think that's what you should do. You can think of an illustration of it that'll work for you. I'm going to jump over the, because we kind of talked about John the Baptist and some of those things about him, and go over to, can I read verse 35 and it not just stand out? I mean, like, it'll make sense to you. Jesus is, I'll just have to go over the other. Jesus is talking about them and John the Baptist and how they were calling John names because they were saying, even though he said he lived a Nazarite life, he didn't drink any wine, he didn't, you know, he lived on locusts and honey and stuff, and they said, well, obviously he has a demon. He's a crazy man because he does these things. So then Jesus says, well, the Son of Man comes, and I don't live like a Nazarite. I party with you, in a sense. I eat, I drink wine, I hang out with with people like tax collectors and sinners, and so they say, well, look, he's a drunkard, he's a gluttonous man, he's a sinner himself, because why would he dare hang out with tax collectors that collect money with the Romans? So his comeback line is 35. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. It's the actions that are going to show who's who. That's what Jesus did with John the Baptist. He was just—he didn't say theologically, "Yes, I am the Messiah because I believe these things that Moses said." Or this. Did you notice that he gave a to-do list? When John the Baptist wanted to know, "Are you the one, the expected one?" He gave him a list of actions that had been performed. The blind see. The dead are raised. The gospel's preached to the poor. There's actions. You and I have to be a people of action. Now, the balance of that is don't go do actions that you just thought were a good idea, but that they were actions that God led you to do because you're serving the King, because you are live under the kingdom of God. And so you have things that you do and you don't do. I sound really dull up here, y'all. I've worked too much the last few days. Is it, Tommy's not, okay. So it's better than it feels like. Okay. Let's go to the next little section. So one of the Pharisees was requesting, see how tired I don't articulate anyway, I can't get words out. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, so he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Now, the Pharisee has asked him to dinner to check him out, as you read on. Jesus is gracious. He doesn't go, no, I'm not going to dinner with you. You're just trying to check me out. He just, okay, I'll come to your house. So they set up kind of a bunch of, I imagine, other Pharisees, other important people, other people that later they would get together and go over everything he did or didn't do and talk about this guy. The Pharisees haven't raised anybody from the dead. This guy could be a problem. You know, if they had a lot of news media, the Pharisees were in charge of it, they would be making special reports about this guy. Oh, can you imagine how they could go after him? So, 37. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now that means she's an immoral woman, okay? And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Is there anything strange about this? Let's go over this again. It's the elite religious people of Israel. The guys that stand on the street corner in the black and white outfit that you can see a mile away, they got a little box on their head or on their arm that's full of Bible verses. They expect you to treat them with great respect. Okay? They are the first to go and go after somebody for them breaking the smallest law. And the small things are the rabbinical things that they have added on to the weight of Mosaic law. But they've added a bunch of other stuff now that they're keeping up with. They're taking their smallest seeds and counting them and giving one-tenth to God, one out of ten to God. They are living by the book. So how does this girl, woman, who is a working girl, get into the party that they don't stop the party and go out and stone her? Yeah, I think she's been to Simon's house before. I think everybody at the table knows her, if you know what I mean. Okay. It's not biblical. I can't prove that, but I just find that interesting that some of them they want to stone and some people they don't. She's the Victoria's Secret girl, model girl that just so happens, you know, that we talk about her, but we don't do anything about her. And she's got a bottle of this super expensive. You know, they say these vials were worth a year's wage, this particular perfume. It's sealed, you know, and so she's got it with her. And she's brought this because, well, she's a working girl. She can afford to buy this. She's got good stuff, got nice clothes, smells good, looks good. She probably doesn't give a flip what they're thinking right now because all she can see is Jesus. And there's something about him where she doesn't feel condemned like they make her feel. But she feels tender toward him. And he's put her in touch with that she's not living right. And she's crying. Big tears. A lot of tears. And she's taking her hair, which probably is one of her outstanding features. And she's kissing his feet. And she's broken open their perfume and put that on his feet. Verse 39, and now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, not out loud, but to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner, even though she's here in my living room at the dinner party. He's just so concerned about nailing this Jesus. Well, I may raise the dead, but he's not much of a prophet, or else he would know what kind of woman she is. This scares me to death. That part of me, that part that can start judging somebody who I don't have a know anything about, can get in the way of me hearing what God wants to tell me about them or about myself. that my own darkness will get in the way of good communication going on, and I will miss what I was supposed to do or not supposed to do because I had started judging. Verse 40, Jesus answered him. He's not talking, but all of a sudden Jesus says to him, as he's thinking, Simon, I have something to say to you. He replies, say it, teacher. Yeah. Rabbi. A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 days' wage. You know, each day's wage is a denarii. And the other 50. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus, he says to him, you have judged correctly. Even though Simon is, you know, dressed as the professional, and Jesus is just the wandering teacher guy, Jesus has pretty much got the conversation in the right place, and he's speaking out of his authority there. Turning toward the woman, verse 44, he says to Simon, now can you see this? The woman's been at his feet and wherever she is nearby doing this, and his eye contact has been with Simon, the head of the dinner party, Pharisee. So now he's looking at the girl again, but he's talking to Simon. He's looking at her and says to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. There's an action. Simon didn't perform an action because really, he really wasn't making Jesus a dinner guest. He was performing some of it, but not all of it properly, because they always had somebody that worked for you, and they made sure that you were clean from the streets, and or that your sandals were left there and your feet were cleaned. And Simon didn't care about that. He just really wanted to see who this Jesus is. And now he's gotten diverted by the girl. Verse 45, you gave me no kiss. You didn't do what we culturally do to honor me. When I came into your presence, you would have done something, probably not like the French, but some sort of, exactly like the French. Okay. Well, that's what I thought they would mean. It's sort of a thank you. She would know. She knows the French. But she, since the time I came in, not ceased to kiss my feet. Not the formal thing to my face. She kissed my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, which was also a customary thing to do, with olive oil, with, you know, spices added to it. But she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, some more internal talk was going on. I bet the air was full of it if you just listen in on the everybody reclining at the table. Who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith in me has saved you. Go in peace. And since he was the Messiah, he really could do this. Chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some of the women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, and Mary, who was called Magdalene, and from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, who was Herod Stewart's wife of his steward, Susanna. These are like important people, you know, in the culture, in the city, the higher up part. And many others were contributing to their support out of their private means. And when a large crowd was coming together, those from the various cities were journeying to him. He spoke by the way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed some fell on the ground, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Another seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Another seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, go and figure out what I am saying in this parable. His disciples, verse 9, began questioning him as to what this parable meant. They were not the smartest group in the crowd. So, because they were, you know, apostles and disciples, they wanted to know. Verse 10, and he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So that applies to you and me too. This is the stuff behind the stuff when you see things. "But to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Do you mean the God of the universe purposely hides things from some people? He is so unjust. He is so unfair. He is so God. Oh yeah, remember, he's God. He gets to make the rules. Doesn't matter what rules we want. Doesn't matter how we think the straw God that we make up should be in act. The real God acts like the real God. You can like it or not like it. Because there's times that I don't like it, some of it. But then I remember, oh, he's God and I'm not. Verse 11. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those beside the road are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved." Verse 13. "Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in the time of temptation they fall away." "I'll follow you forever. It's great. I've walked down front at this church." You know, the louder that they talk, Michael says, in recovery, the worse off they are. Really, there's almost a perfect proportion to that. The more stuff they tell you in recovery, how well they're doing, it's how bad they're doing. The ones that are doing well hardly mention it. Something just aside, they'll go, "Yeah, I had a pretty good week or day," or "It's been going pretty good for a while." So I really don't like to hear the other from them, because when they do all that talk, I go, "Oh, this one's not in very good shape." It's painful because they can't hear it. They can't, even if you took them aside and you started explaining to them, they're not there. Verse 14, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." Are they saved? I think so. How old are they spiritually? 6 months old in the Lord. They've been this way for 40 years. The growing up business doesn't come easy. It's not. If they told you it was easy, they were lying to you to try to get you to sign on the dotted spiritual eternal insurance line. I really liked the one time I got to see Keith Green in person, and he had a call for at the end of the concert for people to be saved, and there were people that did something so that you know who they were, And Keith was going himself, was one of the people, going out, walking among the ones and interviewing them. And he was interviewing like somebody sitting two rows up from me. So I was hearing him ask, and he was asking them the questions about this. And you could hear their, I couldn't hear their response exactly, but I knew it was positive. No, I've really become Christian. He says, you know what? You think you have just now, you're not sure. You know, come, I'll be here tomorrow. You need to go home tonight and think about this. This is real serious business, not just a call. I mean, you could tell he hung out with Linda Ravenhill in the off days back home. And Lindell. That was great to hear someone do stuff like that. Verse 15, but the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word and an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance or steadfastness. That's what we're hoping for. Even if it starts slow, it's real. That you're living day in and day out with him. And sometimes you kind of, like the prodigal son, you kind of walk away for a little while and then you kind of come to your senses and you come back. It's just a real relationship with God. It's not the part about tearing the card and standing up in the meeting and singing Just As I Am 43 times at the end of the service, which I used to play my guitar with Michael and do. Sometimes it was real. You know, you don't know. I think I got resaved maybe 15 times before finally I remember taking a Bible after probably the 15th time as a high school person, and writing in this particular Bible, this is it, I'm dating this, I'm not going down there again. And I didn't, because I still have that Bible somewhere. I think it's an amplified Bible. Verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to the light. We will know about ourselves and about others. Eventually, we will know the truth about people. God will reveal it. It might take years. It may be after they're dead. Stuff gets revealed. I'm looking for important lines here. Okay, so here's another one. So, verse 18, here's another starred one that I starred. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Take care how you listen. Of course, you know that's more than just the listening. It's the actions that follow that. It's what are our actions? And then we got one more little section. So it says 19, and his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. You want to know who my family is? It's the ones who hear the word of God and do it. If you want to know if you're part of the family of your older brother, Jesus, you hear the words and you do something about it. It changes the direction of your life, doesn't it? You're here because it's changed the direction of your life. Or you would be some other body. There's body of believers all over the planet meeting together. Now, I've got some I don't know why I wrote these down, but I was trying to get a reality check, I think, on myself. I really need to get offline. I've gotten strong enough that I dropped my LinkedIn, whatever, because I'm not a business guy, so it doesn't really help if people tell me, hey, connect with me. I go, why? You mean, why? You know, it's not, I need to drop some apps, something or another. If I would just drop Facebook, I would probably be more pleasant at home, because I tend to start reading friends and then friends that have great need of wisdom. We have 7.5 billion people living on a little planet. My truck, my little green truck from the year that I retired in 1998, that if I could have driven it in a straight line, I could have now driven around the earth 8 times. In my truck, 8 times. It's not a very big planet. We live in a little bitty place in a tremendous amount of space out there. I don't know if you've looked out there in a telescope. It's a big place. We're on a little bitty planet. And we keep populating it because we're humans and we do this kind of stuff. There are 2.5 billion of the 7.5 billion are living on the equivalent of $1 a day. There is another group, roughly the same size, another third, another 2.5 billion people who live on $2 a day. So two-thirds of these 7.5 billion people are living between $1 to $2 a day. So you are the rich people, because you're in that other third. You have more than that. Okay. What's another piece of factoid? There are currently 35.8 million slaves on the planet. Almost 36 million people are living not in any freedom, but they live for somebody else's bidding. That's a lot of slavery. The average number of Christians, last year's calculation, is, you'll see it if you just go on, it'll say 90,000, but that's not exactly, I mean, it's nice, 90,000 Christians died last year. But in that, a bunch of them got killed because there was tribal conflicts and civil war where they lived. So we hate Christians are being killed or anybody being killed, but there's roughly 15,000 a year that die as martyrs because they're Christian, by people who hate Christians. So I don't know why I gave you that, except that Jesus says these things marked him as Messiah, and we live on a small planet, and there's a lot of slavery, a lot of pain, there's a lot of wars, life is short, life can be hard. How can we get into all that? You know, it's like reality is rough. But her older brother is making a family. It was all about making a family. So may we find his will this week. May we follow that out. May we not be like Simon the Pharisee and get caught up in other things. You know, yes, people are not walking with God. May I not get so much into judging that I don't hear what he's wanting me to do. Help us, Lord, this week. Help us. Anybody got something another they want to say for a minute?